All right, Ian, thank you very much. Good to have you with us on the Nissan Post Game Show. Once again, the final score 120-109 in favor of the Raptors. This is a problem for the Nets tonight, losing their second straight before the All-Star break, going far beyond just the absence of Jason Kidd. As Bargnani comes up with a big night, 15 points, but Chris Bosh leading all Raptors scorers with 25. Vince Carter for the night ended up with 17, but it was Bolstjen Nakbar with that big night, 26 points for Bogey. So let's take a look at the updated Atlantic standings. The Nets came into the night 3.5 back of the Raptors, but with Toronto winning this one big, they now stand at the All-Star break 4.5 out of the lead in the Atlantic. Now let's go to Toronto now and talk about it with Ian Eagle and Jim Spanarkel. And guys, if you would have told me that the Nets would have scored 109 points, shot 51% from the field, and hit 14 threes, I would have said they were a sure winner. But against the Raptors tonight, not the case.
No stops. When they needed stops, they couldn't come up with them. Toronto got any shot they wanted, and they were making shots from every possible spot on the floor. Now, this Raptor team is playing with a lot of confidence right now, and the Nets, as we know, shorthanded tonight without Jason Kidd, without Richard Jefferson. Kristic done for the season. And I can't even say that the Nets didn't do enough. They right. did enough on the offensive end, but when push came to shove, Jimmy, they couldn't stop. They had no resistance for this Toronto team.
Yeah, and this is a team, Toronto, that's playing well on their home floor. They're very confident here. They had seven guys in double figures, so obviously they're willing to pass the basketball, kind of giving you the impression that even with an all-star, they don't really care who's scoring the right. points. And that becomes a nice little formula if you're winning on your home floor and you don't care who's scoring and the leading scorer. You're going to win a bunch of games, and they're starting to put it together, have been since January, really playing solid basketball.
Listen, guys, when you look at those numbers, isn't this the problem for the Nets going into the second half, the biggest problem? The fact that, you know, the three games, not previous to last night, they were allowing 80 points a game. Yep. Their defense was there. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, they lay a couple eggs in a row defensively. They're a hard team to figure out when it comes to the defense and why they can't commit to that good defense every night.
And frustrating, I know, for Lawrence Frank, because that's something Lawrence has talked about from day one, taking over this job from Byron Scott, rededicating this team to defensive play. It was something that was overlooked during their runs right. to the NBA Finals because they were such a high-flying, get-out-on-the-break offensive team. You tend to overlook what they did on the defensive end. They were a good defensive team. Now, they also had Kenyon Martin patrolling right. that back line as a help defender. They don't have that guy anymore, and you know, they're trying to get by with the likes of Mikey Moore seeing extended minutes. What he has brought to the floor on the offensive end has been extraordinary. Mikey, though, is not a great defensive player. And not to pin this all on Mikey Moore, no. of course, but from a team standpoint, yeah, Lawrence Frank will tell you flat out, he's not satisfied with what he sees night in and night out.
No, and when you have the injuries, too, you know, without Kidd here last night and tonight, that yep. throws the dynamics of your backcourt off, and you have to have guys come in and play extended minutes, and guys like Eddie House are on the floor to score. And so now you have to rely on Eddie House extended minutes in that example, not to throw it on Eddie House, but he has to play extended minutes. Without Richard Jefferson around, now all the guys yep. in the forward position have to do it. So it's a kind of a tumbling act right there where role players and your bench are expected to play long extended minutes, and they're just not built to do that defensively.
Guys, let me throw the spotlight on the two shooting stars for these teams, Bosh and Vince Carter. And I want to start with Vince. You know, his last time, Bert, I think you were telling us, or you said on the pregame that, you know, his prior trip there, he was like 4 of 17 from the field, not a real right. successful trip yeah. back to Toronto. And this one, you know, the numbers are actually pretty good. 17, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Anybody would sign up for those, but just 5 of 15 from the field. Why do you think he's coming up so empty up there in Toronto?
I don't have the answer. I think with Vince, oftentimes, after watching him now over, you know, the better part of 2 years, I think a lot of the disappointment from fans comes from the fact that so much is expected mm-hmm. and you know what he's capable of. So a lot of what happened here in Toronto, I think the bad blood was born from that. Raptor fans expecting him to be Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Michael Jordan-like, right. Kobe Bryant. And let's face it, he does have that kind of ability, but he doesn't have it every single night. And although I don't think Vince is taking the night off by any stretch, just the way he goes about his business sometimes may lead you to believe right. that he's not bringing it. And with Vince, he was trying to find it in the first half and just couldn't locate it, couldn't get into a rhythm. In the second half, you know, began to catch fire. But I think a lot of what you saw tonight is a lot of what the bad blood was between the Raptors fans and Vince Carter at the end of his tenure.
And I think on top of that, I think there's a natural reaction from a player's perspective, especially one with the talent level on the offensive end that Vince Carter has, to prove the boos wrong, if you will. So he comes down the floor, he hears the boos, everybody does from the initial time he touches the ball. And I think psychologically you want to shut them up, if
sure.
you will, right? And you want to do something. And I think what happens there, it leads you to start to do things that you probably shouldn't be doing because they're instigating you a little bit to do it.
Well, the cheers and the applause that Vince used to get in Toronto now go to Chris Bosh. And, you know, the Nets, yeah, prior to this game tonight, had done a pretty good job defensively on him. I think 3 in the 4 games they held him to under 20 points. Not tonight, though. I mean, his game, especially lately, I know you talked about this, the confidence this team has, and you can see it just pouring out of Chris Bosh.
Yes, and, you know, some of the stories in the local papers here today indicating that Bosh has said, look, I loved Vince, I loved him as a teammate, but the fact that he's no longer here has forced me to be more of the go-to guy. And maybe if Carter was still a member of the Raptors, the numbers wouldn't be as high because Carter would still be the guy, and Chris Bosh's role would be different. Chris Bosh has attacked the idea of being a star, and he's a back-to-back all-star. He's well-deserving. He is one of the true blossoming superstars in this league right now.
Yeah, and the funny thing to me, too, is when you think of his game tonight, because they had such great balance, it was almost a quiet performance by Chris Bosh.
And his numbers were huge.
His numbers were huge, and which indicates that he's accepted that role, his team has accepted it, but he's not the superstar that has to take every shot all the time down the floor. And that's, I think, you know, it brings to mind, at the big guy at least, Tim Duncan to me. Same type of temperament. He doesn't have to be the star on the team, even though he is, and everybody knows that. It's a nice way to lead from a floor perspective.
Well, it's not all doom and gloom going into the break. The fact that Lawrence Frank is getting good production from his bench was seen tonight from Eddie House. And, guys, Bojan Akbar had a terrific game with his 26 points, 9 of 13 from the field, 6 threes. That's, I got to think, got to be a great feeling for Lawrence Frank, knowing that at least he's getting this kind of production. He is getting some help for the guys in the absence of, you know, Richard Jefferson, Nenad Krstić, and Jason Kidd right now.
Bob, I think it's an excellent point, and if they are going to take anything positive out of this game, and maybe even overall the first half of the season, is that if they ever do get healthy, if Jefferson comes back the way they expect him to, if Kidd comes back the way they expect him to, and they can get their starters, their big three, the core group, to play at a high level, they now finally have some answers off the bench to possibly take the onus and the pressure off those guys having to do it every minute, every single night. That has been a big plus for this team, and it's unfortunate for Lawrence Frank and company that they haven't been able to couple the two together. In past years, they've had great performances from the starters, but not enough from the bench. Now they're finally getting some efforts from the bench, but the starters haven't been able to stay healthy.
It's a great script if it comes true.
Right.
You know, it's absolutely what you hope for. You hope for when you get guys who have injuries, that guys on the bench can come in, make the most of their minutes, show that they're professional. I think guys on this bench have shown that. They've taken advantage of that. They've been in shape. We've never said, oh, this guy looks like he's out of shape. Guys are ready to go, even Akbar, to give him his due. And there was a period of time back a couple of months where he went a couple of games without really seeing a whole lot of time. So he's stayed with it. It's a great storyline, but your script has to come true for that to happen in the second half. Guys have to be healthy. You know, it's an assumption, but Richard Jefferson comes back. How healthy is he going to be for that first week or 10 days that he's on the floor? So if it all comes together, maybe they write the script. Unfortunately, it's a lot of missing pieces that have to come together.
You know, guys, before you go, I'm curious if you're going to work on anything during the break, because I know, Jim, you had a little problem with the Telestrator circling some of the future dates coming up for the Nets. So you going to work on that? Or
I'm going to work on my circles.
Yeah. They did look. They were more ovals. It's pentagonal. I'm not sure what they were.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll be very busy, though, Bob. Thank you.
All right, guys.
I want no part of this conversation, Bob.
I lost you completely at the end of the game. You were speaking Italian. I didn't.
Prego. Prego. That's all I got.
All right, guys. Grazie. Have a great night. We'll see you after the break. Again, the Nets falling to the Raptors tonight, 120-109. Now, when you give up 120 points and allow an opponent to shoot 59% from the field, you're not making enough defensive stops. You're not playing the kind of 48 minutes of defense that Lawrence Frank wants. So let's hear from the head coach and get his thoughts on tonight's game.
Like, it kept climbing that hill. It could just never get over the hump. Did you feel that?
Yeah, we couldn't put together any stops. I mean, you allow a team to shoot 58%, and, you know, we're not going to win games like that.
How deflating is it when you go into the All-Star break against a team you're kind of chasing right now for that top spot?
Unless it was the last game of the year, it's just disappointing, you know? I mean, anytime you lose, it's disappointing.
You have some injuries, but losing Jason Kidd is a whole nother ballgame, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it impacts it. I mean, we struggled to contain their point guards. But, you know, we can't make any excuses. You know, that third quarter, the way we ended it, obviously a 5-point swing there. You know, Calderon gets the 2, we turn it over. Bargnani hits the 3. But it's just defensively as a whole, we just had a real hard time getting a handle on them. We didn't do a real good job from a team standpoint in terms of having 5 guys on the same page. But you got to give Toronto credit.
If the Raptors continue to play the way they have been playing, any concern that you just may not be able to catch them first?
Well, I think Toronto's playing great. You got to give them a lot of credit. But with 28 games remaining, I don't think we can be watching what Toronto does. I mean, they've played great, and what we need to do is continue to get healthy and get better.
Did you get any more from House and Nakbar tonight?
Oh, they were great. You know, they did a great job leading the charge, get us back in the game. Vince had a little stretch in the third quarter. But again, collectively as a team, I mean, you think about it, we shoot 50% from the 2 and from the 3. We score 109 points, and we lose. So, you know, and it's... you know, so we just all of us, coaches, players, gotta find a better way to do that.
Vince has dealt with hostile environments before throughout his entire career, but do you think maybe the fans might have got to him a little bit too?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, we're too concerned about trying to win the game. I don't think we're really concerned about, you know, individual agendas.
If there was a bright spot, it was the play of Bostian Nakbar off the bench. 26 points. 9 of 13 and 6 3-pointers. Here's Nakbar just a few moments ago.
Wasted a career high tonight?
I mean, it would feel much better if we won, you know. But it is what it is, you know. You're going to have to pick it up after All-Star break. That's the most important thing right now.
Why did you have so much success on the floor?
I think because we shared the ball. You know, I wasn't creating shots for myself. Other guys created shots for me, so... Basically, we were really unselfish, and we were looking for the open guy, you know, and offense was not a problem tonight.
And what was the problem?
Obviously, defense. We let them play their game, you know, which was up and down, you know, kind of run and gun style, and that's what they wanted. And we were not successful with, you know, stopping them. And, you know, it's hard to play when they have more shooters, more runners on the floor than we do.
Is it tougher than even imagined to play without Jason Kidd?
Well, yeah, it's tougher. He's probably the best point guard in the league, so it's tough when you don't have a guy like that. I don't think we should be looking at excuses now. You know, we shouldn't be saying Jason's not here, that's why we lost. You know, we should have won. I still believe that we are a better team.
How are you going to regroup now?
Well, you know, I think, you know, All-Star break is a good thing for us. You know, everybody's going to rest a little bit and come back ready, you know. Everybody in here knows that we do belong in the playoffs, and we're going to do everything we can to show that.
All right, so while Bostian Nakbar was a bright spot, Vince Carter tonight was not. Now, you could certainly make the argument numbers-wise that he was. Another double-double for him. He had 17 points, 10 assists, but just 5 of 15 from the field. He couldn't find a shot once again in Toronto. And here's Vince on his play.
They do a great job of spreading the floor. 1 through 5 can all shoot the ball. And when you have a point guard like TJ who can, TJ and Calderon who can get into the lane, what they pride themselves on is sucking guys in to get shots for their guys. You know, and you know they do a great job of it, and that's why they're so successful.
Vince, you look like you kind of made a face when the fans were chanting MVP for Chris. So.
I'll just give him a hard time.
You're getting more concerned that with the injuries and the way the Raptors are playing that.
I'm not worried about what the Raptors are doing. It's just us, you know. You know, we just want to keep fighting, and hopefully we can just maintain until our guys get back. This All-Star break is coming at a great time for us. And hopefully give Jason the time to heal and give RJ a time to heal and kind of get away from it for a while as a unit, come back fresh, and hopefully we can make a run for it.
Was that third quarter the end, kind of the real dagger for you guys there, just that 5-point swings?
No, we still had a chance to win the fourth.
2 years after leaving what seemed almost a hopeless situation, how surprised are you to see...
Next question, please.
How well they've advanced?
I mean, they play hard. That's what they pride themselves on, just playing hard.
Well, the Nets are now off to enjoy the All-Star break, but we'll return to action next, a week from tonight, when they host the New Orleans-Oklahoma City Hornets. Our pregame coverage begins at 7, with tip-off at the Meadowlands shortly after 7:30. Now for Ian Eagle, Jim Sparkle, and our entire Yes Network team, I'm Bob Lorenz. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll see you next time. Take care.